properties of magnets. The next day, he gave his students a pop quiz, and the question was, my name begins with an M, has six letters, what am I? Well, a few kids wrote down magnets, but you know what most wrote down? Mother. Mother. I'm grateful for how influential my mother has been in my life. I received an email years ago describing some things that one person had learned from their mom. See if you can help me with some of this. First said, my mother taught me to appreciate a job well done. She would say to me and my brother, if you're going to kill each other, please do it outside. I just finished cleaning the house. She taught me religion. She said, you better pray that will come out of the carpet. She taught me irony. Keep crying and I'll give you what? I'll give you something to cry about. My mother taught me about hypocrisy. She said, if I told you once, I've told you a million times. Don't exaggerate. She taught me about the circle of life. She said, I brought you into this world and I can what? Take you out. And she could. My mother taught me about envy. She said, there are millions of less fortunate children in this world who don't have wonderful parents like you do. My mother taught me about anticipation. She said, just wait until your dad gets home. And my favorite, my mother taught me about justice. She said, one day you'll have kids and I hope they are just like you. So we've learned a great deal, haven't we, from our moms. But today, as we complete our message series, I want to speak about the great calling that God has placed on each one of our lives. We discussed a few weeks ago about our call to care, that God has called us to care for others. And in fact, what we learn from Scripture is that if we say that we care, but we do not act, then we really don't care at all. Last weekend, we explored God's call for us to serve. Friend, there is nothing insignificant about our serving for the significance of the cause of Christ. We have been called to serve. And when you and I are wholeheartedly serving God, there's nothing small about that. There's nothing inconsequential about that. There's nothing insignificant about that. This morning, we're going to focus on God's call upon our lives to make disciples. Church, it is a calling that all believers share. You and I are called to make disciples. After Jesus died on Calvary's cross, the Bible explains that he rose again. And before he ascended to heaven, he gathered the 11 remaining disciples. And with his final words, he gave what is referred to as the Great Commission. Jesus' last words, one of our most important life assignments as believers, is that we are called to make disciples. If you are a disciple of the Lord Jesus, then friend, you are called to make disciples. Look with me in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Jesus said, therefore, go and make what? Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. So Jesus said, therefore, go. That word in the original language is a word that means to travel, to depart, to go, to make a journey. It's present participle. It's not so much a command, but it might be better translated as you go, or as you do life, as you are following Jesus, make disciples. Now, a lot of people think that you've got to go overseas to make disciples. A lot of people think that you make disciples on mission trips, and I hope that you'll consider going on one of our future mission trips. But really, this idea that we're to make disciples is something that as we go, as we do life, as we interact with others, we make disciples. You say, well, what is a disciple? You should understand, a disciple is more than just a convert. A disciple is more than just a church member. A disciple is more than someone, a parent who drops off his or her kids at church. A disciple is more than a parent who does anything like that. A disciple is more than someone who soaks in everything that is said on Sunday and then leaves unchanged. What is a disciple? A learner? A student? A follower? In the New Testament, the early believers were called disciples because a disciple would follow a rabbi or a master, and they would adhere to the teachings of that rabbi. A disciple wanted to be just like his teacher. And so in the Old Testament, you have the example of Elijah and Elijah. And Elijah just stuck with Elijah everywhere he went. Elijah said, look, I want to be like you. I want a double portion of what you have. Just like Naomi and Ruth, Naomi said, wherever you go, I will what? I will go. Your people will become my people. Just like Jesus and his disciples. Paul, Timothy. A disciple commits to sitting under the teaching of the rabbi and becoming like his master. Jesus explained to his disciples and to us that as we go through life, we are to make disciples. And so at its foundation, if you are a disciple of Jesus, then you have been called to make disciples. If you are his follower, then you ought to be sharing the love of Jesus. Church, discipleship starts, first of all, with people who do not know him. As you work, you're looking for opportunities to share the gospel and to make disciples. As you go to school, you're looking for opportunities to share Jesus and make disciples. In your neighborhood, you're discipling your children. As you coach your kids' soccer team, you're discipling other coaches. Several years ago, I coached the varsity baseball team out at Community Christian Academy. And so one of the men in our church, Earl Mitchell, I asked him to be my assistant. And between the two of us, we coached these young men. And we taught them a little something about baseball, but our primary focus was to teach them about life and about the Lord and about God's Word. And I can't tell you how many opportunities God presented during those few years of coaching just to pour what I have learned from the Lord into the lives of these young men, making disciples. As you go, make disciples. So as you go to school, as you start a new job, or as you function in your old job, as you parent your children, as you interact with grandchildren, we are called to make disciples. But church, the reality is, that, and it's heartbreaking, but the reality is that in many American churches today, we're not making disciples. That's not what we're about. The truth is that people come to church and they watch, and then they go about their lives with little impact or no impact at all. I hear people say, well, the church should disciple me, and we should. But remember, you're the church, and we ought to be discipling one another. And we ought to be encouraging one another in the Lord. Amen. But the reality is so many of us aren't. I would argue that our not making disciples is because of one of two misconceptions about discipling. The first is that many people feel, I'm not ready to disciple anyone. I'm not ready. I'm not ready to teach a Bible study. I'm not ready to lead a prayer meeting. I don't want to be responsible for teaching a Bible study on the book of Revelation. I mean, they're flying beasts, and there's horns and tattoos of 666 in Revelation, and those things kind of stress me out. I'm not ready to disciple anyone. A lot of people feel that way. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough to disciple anyone. What I want to do this morning is try to reframe your thinking about what it means to disciple. Certainly, discipling others is always built around God's Word. But it does not have to be limited to a Bible study. It could be that as you do life, that you're helping others apply biblical principles to their lives. It could be that you're working with a married couple who's struggling. And you might say to them, here are some things that I've learned in my marriage. Here are some ways that I feel like that you might be able to honor God in your marriage. It may be that you know something about money and you're working with another person, you say, can I show you some principles from the Bible about how to better manage your resources? It could be talking to parents, and you might say, you know, I sure made my share of mistakes raising my children, and I think I might be able to help you avoid making some of the same mistakes that I've made. Let me share with you what I've learned from God's Word about being a parent. Making disciples. It could be that you offer to pray with someone and just let them hear you pray. Let them hear how you talk to God so that they will be better equipped in their own prayer life. Jesus said, as you go, you and I are to make disciples. And yet, church, many of us feel unprepared. Many of us feel underqualified to make disciples. So I want to try something today. You're going to have to work with me on this. I need your participation. I think it'll be eye-opening. I want to ask some questions, and if you would say, yes, that's true of me, then I want you to raise your hand up high. All right? Simple questions. The first one is this. For those of you who are married, how many of you might say, we don't have a perfect marriage, but for the most part, we've got a solid Christian marriage. How many of you would say that's you? All right, some of you men are looking at your wife to make sure it's okay to raise your hand. That's good, guys. All right, here's the next question. How many of you would say that at your workplace or at school or within your friends in your neighborhood, for the most part, people know that you're a Christian and that you have a positive Christian witness? How many would say that's you? Raise your hand. Okay, put your hands down. How many of you have a basic understanding of prayer? I mean, you know how to pray. Did you raise your hand? Almost all of us. How many of you have a pretty good understanding of the Bible? You don't know everything. None of us do. But you know your way around the Bible. Raise your hand. Many of us. How many of you would say, I'm a parent and my kids aren't perfect, but I think I could help another couple who's raising their kids. I could share some things that I've learned about parenting. Raise your hand. All right, thank you. How many of you would say, financially, I haven't made great decisions, but I understand that the borrower is enslaved to the lender, and we've overcome some debt, or we're working our way out of debt, and you've made some financial decisions that have allowed you to be more generous, give you a little bit of margin in your life, and that you understand some basic principles of investing and how to leverage your money for the kingdom of God? Would you raise your hand? Very good. How many of you have been hurt by someone? You've been betrayed, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, you've learned how to forgive that person, something that others would say, man, that's unforgivable. And yet God working in your life, and because of the grace of Jesus, you've been able to forgive someone. Raise your hand. Very good. How many of you are believers in Jesus? Raise your hand. You're a disciple. You're often around non-believers. If you raise your hand for any of the things I just mentioned, would you stand up right now? Would you mind to stand right where you're at? And I just want to talk to those of you who are standing. Friend, you are called by God to make disciples. And I want you to feel that calling. I want you to believe in God's calling. I want you to embrace it. You are called, you are equipped, you are empowered by God to make disciples, to share what you have learned about Jesus with others. As you go, make disciples, because you have the experience, you have the spiritual gifts, you have the Word of God. You are called to make disciples. And as you remain standing for just a moment, listen, there are people that God has placed in your life that He wants you to share, He wants you to pour into, He wants you to invest in them. He wants you to lift them up and build them up and point them to Jesus and to pour what you have learned about the Lord into them. You and I have been called to make disciples. Friend, one of your most important life assignments is that as you go, as you do life, you're to make disciples. That's God's calling upon you. I just want to challenge you in that today. You may be seated. Those of you who try to excuse yourself from God's call, saying, I'm not ready, I'm not qualified, I'm not capable. Friend, you have been prepared by God to make disciples. There is a second misconception that leads many people to not make disciples. And it's because some people feel that I don't need someone to disciple me. A lot of people don't see the benefit. And so they say, I don't need someone to disciple me. They've never seen the benefit of that. Maybe they're too proud. They just don't want someone else telling them what to do. But if you feel that way, you are terribly misinformed. Because I believe that the greater that you want to be at something, the better that you hope to be at something, the more specialized help you should seek. Think about this. The better that you are, the better you hope to be at something, the more specialized help you should seek. Take sports, for example. If you've got kindergarten boys playing t-ball, you normally have one coach, one guy teaching them how to play the game of baseball. You've got a number of parents that are out on the field. They're making sure the kids are running to first base instead of third base. And, you know, you're helping in that way. But usually just one coach trying to teach the game of baseball. But when you get to the high school level, you've got multiple coaches. You've got a head coach, and you've got an assistant coach, and you've got folks that are teaching and helping learn about baseball. Finally, you get to the college level, and if you look at college baseball, you've got a head coach, an assistant coach, there's a pitching coach, there's a coach involved with recruiting, and then there's a coach to get you out of trouble when you've done stupid things, coach. So you've got all these people trying to help at the college level. Why? Because players are better there. Much better at the college level than at kindergarten. And so there are more people speaking into our life, teaching the players how to play. Listen, if you want to be the best mom, get a spiritual woman who will train you on being the best mom. If you want to be a tremendous leader, you need to find some people and allow them to speak into your life about Christian leadership and what that looks like and how to do that. The great model in the Bible is Paul and Timothy. Paul was a spiritual father to Timothy. Paul was the father. Timothy was the son. And I think each one of us, we need a Paul. We need someone who is better, who will speak into us and invest in us as believers. And so we all need a Paul, but we also need a Timothy. We need someone that we can pour what we've learned into them. And church, the best place where this happens is in Sunday school. Sunday school is where we come together and we intentionally do life together in a spiritual way. It's where we open up God's word and we talk and we pray. Sunday school, it's where we encourage and where we disciple one another. I think God uses Sunday school to help us disciple one another, and it is a beautiful thing. We all need a Paul, and we all need a Timothy, because you and I are called to make disciples. But the reality is that it isn't happening much in the church today. And I think there's a misunderstanding. People think discipleship happens at the church or it happens in Bible study, and that's certainly part of it. But church is so much more than that. I want to take a few moments this morning and just be very simple, very practical. I want our children to be able to learn that they can make disciples at school with their friends. Making disciples, it starts with introducing our friends to Christ. It begins by telling them about Jesus. And then it involves helping them become more like Christ. Amen. That's really what discipleship is. And so I want to make it very simple. Two things. The first is this. You can make disciples by your example. You can make disciples by your example. Philippians 3:17. Paul said, join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. When I do premarital counseling, one of the things I suggest to the couple that is engaged is you need to find some Christian couples who love the Lord. Find some Christian couples who are committed to God's word and living out a biblical marriage, and you need to watch them. You need to spend time with them. You need to observe what they do, how they act. Because as we watch, we learn from others. We can live our lives according to the pattern of those who are doers of God's word. And friend, we should do the same thing as we do life. If you're not sure how to disciple somebody, be a good example. Be a good example and let them watch you. I can't tell you how much I've learned about ministry just by watching other godly men, other pastors. I've learned how they study and how they pray. I've watched as they teach God's word and as they share the gospel. And one of the biggest ways that I've learned is by observation, just following their example. Those of you who are parents, you need to know that one of our greatest callings on earth is to disciple our children. And yet, if you look at what most parents do, it seems that what is most important is that we make soccer players out of our kids by the time they turn 6, ballerinas by the time they turn 8. If you look at the way that we live our lives, if you look at our priorities and the way that we value our time, you might think that our greatest calling on us as parents is to keep our kids enormously busy. It appears our greatest calling is to make them succeed at things that will not contribute eternally to their lives in the future. That's how we live our lives. That's what seems to be our priority. But moms and dads, your role is to make disciples of your children. It isn't the church's job. Yes, we're here to partner with you. And when your kids come on Sunday evenings to our Children's Grow Ministry, and they're here on Wednesday night, and as our youth are in Bible study, yeah, we want to partner with you in that. But I think you have the opportunity to get involved in that process of making disciples. What could be more important during your week than investing in your children and others? You pour into the lives of your kids because they're going to imitate whatever they see. And if you're not a good example, your children will imitate you. And they will imitate culture and the world around them. And yet, as followers of Christ, we're not supposed to look like the world. Our priorities, our values should not be the same as those who are far from God. Romans 12:2, Scripture commands us, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I want to show you this downward spiral that our culture seems to be pushing upon us. If you look at this next slide, here's the agenda of our culture. First, they want to get us as parents, as believers, that they want us to begin by overlooking evil. Just let it go. Let it happen. Doesn't involve us. Just overlook it. And once we're willing to overlook it, the next step is they want us to permit it. Say, it's okay. It's acceptable. Once we permit evil, now they want to legalize evil. Make it legalized. And then they want to promote it. And they want us to promote it as well. And then they want us to celebrate evil. And ultimately then they begin to persecute those who still call evil, evil. Parents, if our kids look like the world, if our children imitate the world and our culture, it's because we're not discipling them to be different. We're not teaching them. We're not living that example for them. I wanted my children to see and imitate a godly home. I wanted my daughter to see the way that I treated my wife in a way that Christ would honor and lay down his life for the church. And the reason that was important was because I wanted Joanna not to settle for anything less than a godly man to be her husband. I wanted my son to learn that in decisions that we made as a family, that we live beneath our means because things aren't what make us happy. It's a relationship with Christ that makes us happy. That's what brings joy. It's the relationships that we build with others as we serve Christ. That's where joy comes from. And so it was important that he understood that. And so we tried to live that out in this process of discipling. I didn't want my children to be enslaved to the things of this world because we're not of this world.
Amen.
We're just passing through. Friend, this world is not our home. Parents, we're just passing through. This is our calling. Friend, you can do this. You can make disciples by your example as you go, as you become more like Christ. A second lesson is that you can make disciples by your words. You can make disciples by your words, with the words that you speak. In Deuteronomy 3:28, God told Moses, "But commission Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go across leading this people, and he will give to them as an inheritance the land which you will see." Moses was instructed by God, disciple Joshua, encourage him. Strengthen him. And so with his words, Moses was to tell Joshua who he could become in Christ. He was to speak life into Joshua and encourage him. Friend, with your words, you can encourage and you can strengthen those around you. So as you go, as you do life, make disciples. Use your example and use your words to encourage and strengthen those that God has placed in your sphere of influence. Let me just say this. If you're not making disciples, if that's not a priority in your life, I would just encourage you to ask yourself this question. Am I really a disciple of Jesus? Do I really know the Lord? Am I really saved? Because listen, when you truly know him, you can't keep him to yourself. When Christ has changed your life, when you are his disciple, you make disciples as you go. Some of you might say, well, Pastor, I have a personal relationship with Jesus, and that's great. But although your relationship with him is personal, it's not supposed to be private. Personal, yes. Private, no. And so as a church and as individuals, we have to make it a priority to fulfill God's calling upon our lives to make disciples. Friend, we are called by God. We need someone who will invest in us and help us grow spiritually. We need a Paul. And we need someone that we can disciple and help become more like Christ. And that means we need a Timothy. Maybe you need to ask the Lord today, give you eyes to see those around you who do not know him. Be intentional about sharing the gospel. Ask the Lord to give you the desire to make disciples for him. Maybe you need to commit today to participate in a Sunday school class. That's where you're going to find a group of people that you will do life with around God's word. It's the place where your life will be transformed and where God will use you to help shape and change the lives of others to help them grow spiritually. Just one of the things that greatly troubles me. In fact, one of the things that frightens me as a pastor is that there are so many in the church who call themselves Christians who aren't. There are people who are church members, but they're without a relationship with Christ. Listen, you can call yourself a duck, but if you can't swim on top of the water all day long, you're not a duck. And you can call yourself a Christian, but that does not mean that you are one. Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. When I look at some people in the church today, it seems that there are not a lot of people that are great at self-denial. Self-absorption, yes, but not self-denial. Jesus said, deny yourself. See, it's not about you and it's not about me, it's about him. Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, take up your cross. That means that we are to die to self and die to the world. But when I look around, I see people who want to be like the world instead of being like Jesus. If you're following Jesus, then you won't look like the world. You'll have different values. You'll have different priorities. There will be different things that drive you as a disciple of Christ. Friend, if you are in Christ, this world is not your home. And you'll be different. Maybe you need to ask yourself, am I following this world? Or am I truly following Jesus? If you're not following Jesus, what do you do? Well, if you're not a follower of Christ, God offers mercy and grace. If you will turn from your sin and place your trust in Christ. You see, the forgiveness of God and his salvation is yours when you turn away from the way that you've been living and you surrender your life to him. The gospel message is that all have sinned and all sin must be punished. All need salvation. All are offered salvation. All are without excuse. But only those who put their trust in Christ will experience the love of God and life eternal. Friend, I want you to know that no one has piled up more sin than God's mercy can cover. Christ's death on the cross, his resurrection from the grave, it is more than sufficient to pay your debt. The grace and forgiveness of God is yours when you turn from your sin and you put your complete trust in him. Friend, if you want to experience this new life in Christ right where you are, would you just say to him, Jesus, save me from my sins. Jesus, I want you to make me new. As best I know how, I surrender all of me to you. And I want to serve you the rest of my days. I want to turn from my sin. And I want to put my trust in you. If you'd like someone to pray with you in just a moment as the congregation begins to sing, I'd love to meet you down front and pray with you, share with you how you can know Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior of your life. If you're a Christian, and you believe that friendship is where God wants you to worship, where he wants you to serve and to grow, then now is the time, today is the day for you to come and connect with the friendship family. Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank you for your love for us. And as your followers, you've called us. You've called us to care, to serve, to make disciples. He's called us to be different. And Father, I pray that our lives would reflect the calling that you placed upon us. Lord, help us make disciples. Lord, use us to help others become more like your Son, Jesus. Pray that that would be a priority for each one of us. And God, I pray for those who don't know you this morning. Lord, I pray that you would bring conviction of sin. And Father, because of their awareness of need, that they would surrender their life to you today, turning away from sin and turning toward Jesus. God, move in this place. Move in our lives today. Change us, we pray. It's in Christ's name we ask these things. Amen. If you would stand.